from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. California bans taxpayer-funded travel to 11 other states because of their policies involving the LGBTQ community. Now, one of those states is fighting back. KQED's Raquel Maria Dillon reports.
It's a legal smackdown between the country's two most populous states, which occupy opposite ends of the nation's political spectrum. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit against California. The suit argues California's ban on official travel to the Lone Star State shows hostility towards religion and harms Texas's businesses by preventing them from earning money from California visitors. California's ban on Texas travel was prompted by a 2017 law passed there, which allows child welfare agencies to deny families adoptions and foster care placements based on their religious beliefs. California says the Texas law discriminates against LGBTQ parents and children. Texas wants the Supreme Court to overturn California's travel restrictions. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, which is also covered by California's travel ban, has issued its own ban against travel to California in retaliation. For the California Report, I'm Raquel Maria Dillon.
In L.A., rents continue to rise faster than wages. So one city official wants to beef up existing rent control rules in the city. With more, here's KPCC's David Wagner.
L.A. has higher allowable increases than some other California cities with rent control, like San Francisco and Santa Monica. Under L.A.'s current rules, landlords can raise rents by at least 3% each year, and sometimes more. Allowable increases start at 4% this year. L.A. City Councilman Mike Bonin says that's not sustainable for many renters.
People's rents, which are supposed to be going up according to the cost of living, went up faster than the cost of living while wages remained flat.
Bonin is putting forward a new motion to more closely tie rent hikes with inflation, which has been fairly low in recent years. The motion also calls for a potential rent freeze for tenants who've seen their rents outpace the overall cost of living. The plan is in early stages. Property owners say this would just double down on what they see as a cause of, not a solution to, the city's shortage of affordable housing. For the California Report, I'm David Wagner in Los Angeles.
Let's turn now to a national issue. In the last hour, the House of Representatives voted to pass the Equal Rights Amendment, which would enshrine protections against gender discrimination in the U.S. Constitution. California voted to approve it way back in 1973, but until Virginia voted for the ERA this month, it had been stalled for decades. KQED's Mary Franklin Harvin has more from the Bay Area congresswoman who led the charge to revive the ERA.
Congress set a 7-year deadline back in 1973 for 3/4 of the states to ratify the ERA. That didn't happen in time, so the amendment has been in limbo. But now that enough states have ratified it, lawmakers say the ERA should get a second chance. Congresswoman Jackie Speier introduced the resolution.
Women in America are done. We are done being harassed, assaulted, and violated with impunity. We are done being paid less for the same work. We are done being discriminated against for our pregnancies.
The companion bill in the Senate isn't as likely to succeed. For the California Report, I'm Mary Franklin Harvin.
More California raccoons, skunks, and foxes are sick this year with distemper. That's a highly contagious viral infection. Wildlife officials say the animals caught the virus from dogs. Cap Radio's Steve Milne reports.
The increase in canine distemper virus cases in wildlife populations is statewide.
We've diagnosed cases as far south as Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, all the way up through Yreka. We seem to have quite a few cases in the Bay Area.
Deanna Clifford is the senior wildlife veterinarian with the State Department of Fish and Wildlife. She says since October, they've confirmed about 10 cases with half a dozen pending, and they're still getting reports of other suspected cases. Distemper can cause respiratory, neurological, and gastrointestinal illness, and even death. Unvaccinated pets can spread it to wild animals, and vice versa. It does not infect humans. Clifford says one way to prevent the spread of the disease is to keep food and water bowls inside.
If your animal, your dog or your cat, are sharing a food bowl with a wild animal, that can still be a way that disease is transmitted.
She's also urging pet owners to keep their dogs up to date on vaccinations. For the California Report, I'm Steve Milne in Sacramento.
Is the solution to California's housing crisis in its garages? New state laws make it much easier for people to convert the land where residential garages or backyard sheds now stand into housing that homeowners can then rent out. This kind of housing is known as accessory dwelling units, or ADUs.
Welcome to our small home.
This is lovely.
Yeah, it's entirely livable for 359 square feet.
In LA's Crenshaw neighborhood, I took a tour of one of the first ADUs built under the new laws with developer Stephen Dietz with the company United Dwelling.
So this is the conversion of a garage. What we do is we actually demolish the garage that was in place and rebuild or build a small home in its place. It's 359 square feet.
And when you say small home, I mean, do you see someone could actually live here quite comfortably for not just days or months, but years?
Oh, yeah.
So what does this mean? Why should we care about this place?
Affordable housing is the biggest problem the state of California faces. And uniquely, it's entirely man-made. It's a result of 70 years of zoning laws. The state changed those laws to let an ADU like this be built on any of the 9 million residential properties in the state. This is a way of taking deeply underused, really high-quality real estate and turning it into something much more valuable. And at its heart, that's the opportunity to take a tremendous inventory of real estate that's deeply underutilized. There are 285,000 detached two-car garages in LA County alone. 91% of them, we know, just have junk in them, and turn them into homes. And that all by itself would present enough inventory to drop real estate prices and fix the affordability challenge in the state.
Right now, how would you characterize the interest in ADUs? They seem to be having a moment because of the new laws.
I think they're having a moment for those who are paying attention to it. You see a lot more references to them. But our largest barrier to building is the need to normalize the idea of having an ADU and a tenant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most of the people we talk to, you know, say, that sounds weird. I've never heard of such a thing. And they're right. This is new, but it works really well.
So often what stops construction of new housing in its tracks or slows it down tremendously is opposition from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. An issue with ADUs that you've confronted so far?
No issue from either side. Firstly, we actually have not had issues from the community. But the second is that as long as you meet building code, you can build one of these.
You can do it.
Yeah. And there isn't anything a neighbor, a homeowners association, building and safety department, city planning, nobody can say no as long as you meet some fairly basic parameters on size and location.
That was ADU developer Stephen Dietz. And if you want to see photos of that ADU that we toured, check out images on my Twitter feed. I'm at SaulKQED. And that's the California Report for Thursday, February 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening, and as always, have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from PaintCare. Now with 760 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. Personal Capital, offering financial planning with registered advisors and serving over 2 million people with online financial tools. PersonalCapital.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.